Okay, let's continue. Also, I have a pain in the gum area of a crown put on a few years ago. Since doing your protocol seems to be better, not so much pain. Is there anything else I could do? At one time, the dentist mentioned a root canal, and I haven't seen him since. Now, why I want a root canal? I've noticed that since doing your protocol, no plaque buildup in my lower front teeth area. My husband can't believe I'm using Crest and Listerine, but if Patrick's tests come back good and my next dentist visit is good, which is Monday, I will be a believer. Thanks from Susan in Arizona.
Do use the program right before you go to the dentist, because I had one occasion where some people had been using my system, very thrilled with it, and then years later, they came to me and said, oh, our dentist told us we had plaque on our teeth. And I was sort of, it can't be. You know, if you're using the system, it's not possible. Turned out it was the lunch that they had had that was being identified as plaque. So make sure you go into the dentist. Give yourself a fighting chance of a good evaluation. Use the system right before you go. And I always recommend people have an early morning appointment anyway. For other reasons, I think the dental office air is something we have to evaluate, you know, eventually. And I would always have an early morning appointment because I think it's a healthier time to go to the dentist.
Also, this is important, and I think this is also a testimony to the system. When I did my DNA test, I think it was last Tuesday. I didn't do the system right before going.
No, you
because
wouldn't want to do that.
Because I said, no, I want to do it. I did it at 3:00. I want to do it in the middle of the day because this is a good indication of what's running around my mouth after I, you know, did the system in the morning, you know, have my breakfast, have my thing, have my lunch, a little xylitol. That's what I wanted to look. I didn't want to cheat on the system.
Correct. No. But I do think when you're going to your dentist, don't go in
different.
And give them any opportunity to see egg salad still on your teeth and identify it as plaque. This was the story. This was the actual story. It was craziness. So, you know, some dentists are obviously, that was obviously a young hygienist who didn't know, but you want a good evaluation.
Here's an email from dentist. It doesn't sound like he's on this system, but he just knows you're a dentist. So he asks a question. He's got some staining on lower front teeth, discolored. Can you please ask Dr. L if she has any suggestions to how to remove these stains without having a traditional cleaning? It said it could be plaque or coffee and tea.
I don't believe that coffee and tea, coffee and tea are acidic. And they have tannins in them. If your teeth are very soft, when you drink coffee and tea, the tannins can get into these channels, into these porosities. If your teeth are really hard, and don't worry, because I've never found anyone whose stains got stuck inside or anything. I mean, get your teeth situated with the complete mouth care system, and then when you feel your mouth is completely comfortable, you've probably had 6 months or more, and if you've got dry mouth, maybe even longer, prepare yourself, go for cleaning, and realize that soon after that, you don't want to go right out of your cleaning and have a coffee or a tea, because they've just stripped your protective saran wrap off your teeth.
Oh.
That would be the time to wait a little while, wait until your mouth is reprotected before you start eating and drinking. Yeah.
Well, I do coffee 3 or 4 times a week, or 3, and some green tea, and I haven't seen no discoloration whatsoever. So evidently this hardness keeps it at bay, right?
That's correct. Yeah. It's going to be acidic. You want to take your xylitol
afterwards, right?
So
now back to the xylitol for a moment, then the next email from Debbie in Canada. I've had a couple of reports from people that get an upset tummy from xylitol. And I'm sure you've heard this, right, over the years.
Well, there's a lot of misinformation about it.
What do you think that's about?
Well, initially, xylitol, because it's such an expensive ingredient, was always mixed with other products, usually sorbitol. And before the internet, I mean, one of my irritations was trying to undo this myth that was the woven, that sorbitol and xylitol were the same, and the sounds so similar. How was I ever going to change people's attitudes to xylitol when they were thinking it was the same as sorbitol? Xylitol is a completely different product or crystal. It's 5-carbon. Sorbitol, mannitol, maltitol, a completely different chemistry. Sugar is a completely different chemistry. Xylitol is a unique 5-carbon sugar. Pentose sugar is what it would be called. And if you have pure xylitol, it is hygroscopic. If you put a few crystals of xylitol in your mouth, on your tongue, which is basically what a mint is, it's pressed together crystals, and you put it on your tongue, it is hygroscopic. Hygroscopic means it loves water and it pulls liquid to itself. When it's on the roof of your tongue, on the top of your tongue, it's going to pull saliva from the roof of your mouth and make your mouth full of saliva that comes from the roof of your mouth. And it just so happens that those are salivary glands that are very alkaline. So it's dousing your mouth in alkaline, mineral-rich saliva. That's how we love xylitol for mouth health. If you were to eat a tablespoon of xylitol or put it in a drink, your coffee, and then chug it, that xylitol is going to arrive in your intestine as a tablespoon of xylitol, and it's going to pull water to itself, especially if you've had quite a lot of it. If you have leaky gut, if you have a very porous digestive tract because you haven't yet corrected that, or you have Crohn's or IBS, the last thing you want is something that's hygroscopic sitting in your digestive tract, because it's going to pull water from your body into your intestine and give you loose stools. So if you have a delicate digestive system, my advice is not to give up xylitol, because actually if you take a little bit, it can actually help heal that porosity of your lining of your digestive tract. But you want to take just like, that's why I like the mints, because you're taking
very little,
half a gram. Two mints is 1 gram. That's so tiny, it's hard to do on a teaspoon. Most of the people who are having trouble with xylitol are using the crystals, and they're taking too much. You need such a tiny amount.
And it could be a xylitol with other things in there, right?
If you're not careful, if you buy crystals that you think are cheaper,
or just even a gum or a mint xylitol, you see it all over the place. A lot of these things got all kinds of things in there.
Other junk in there. And even buying xylitol, I went into HEB the other day here in Texas, and I couldn't believe the price, because we can't even manufacture a 1-pound bag of xylitol for the price they were selling this at. I picked it up. It said it was ideal xylitol.
Right. What was it?
It's Splenda.
Oh, good.
With the tiniest amount of xylitol.
Okay.
And yet it's promoting xylitol on the outside of it. And if you read the label, talk about a great name.
Ideal xylitol.
Ideal xylitol.
So I'm going to give you a plug, because you never mention your own products, but I'm going to plug you. Okay. She's got some great ones, and I've got them right here. Where, right here. See mine? Zellies.
Oh, good for you.
I got mints. I love the gum. How many grams of xylitol in one little chiclet?
One gram.
Oh, just 1 gram. Okay, cool.
We don't advertise it because we hand coat. And again, listeners know, I got into this because I was in the restaurant. I was married to a restaurateur, and we had 70 waiters at one point with bad teeth. And I made the mints so they wouldn't eat Altoid mints, and I made the gum because the kitchen chewed gum. And, you know, it was a hobby more than it was a business for most of my career. Only when I couldn't find what I was looking for, it's a very boutique, small company, but we hand coat the gum with xylitol. We put a gram on each, but sometimes it's 0.99, you know, it's not, or sometimes it's 1.2. It's somewhere in the region and it's really hard because it's not automated. I mean, it's done by hand, so there is some variation. So that's why we don't advertise it, but it's very close to a gram.
I see. So what I'd like you to do, if you want, is you go to One Radio Network, click on the Amazon link, and then go to Amazon and buy yourself some mints and some gum. They're called Zellies. Right, Zellies.
Thanks,
and you
Patrick.
got spearmint, and you got mint, and We got three different kinds of mints, don't you? And two or three different kinds.
I have four flavors of it. It's fruit, spearmint, and then we have, you know, cinnamon and peppermint.
Oh.
In the mints, we used to have a children's product that was a little bear. There wasn't enough demand for it, so we morphed it into a mint, which is cherry berry. So if you have little kids, I mean, my grandchildren are a year old.
They, like
they
these,
will
huh?
have, oh, they adore them. And that is the greatest time to use xylitol, is early, mm-hmm. to make sure that the grooves of these molar teeth are populated with healthy bacteria.
And these are non-GMO, for those of you who don't yeah. like GMOs, which we don't, Zellies, Z-E-L-L-I-E-S. Okay.
There's Thank you.
You're quite welcome. So I'm chewing my mints right now. I can't talk. Good morning. Since you're hearing you on Patrick Timpone's show, I immediately embarked on your program. I've just one question. My teeth have turned noticeably dark gray to light black. Oh, since starting the program, what might that be? I look like I'm a drug addict. I'm from Debbie in Canada.
I can't imagine what she's doing. I mean,
What's
I would
going
want
on,
to know.
Debbie? Yeah.
That doesn't sound right. Doesn't sound, but it's not, I mean, it's not possible. If you're doing the xylitol after meals, if you've got the right toothpaste, I mean, I would like her to take a photograph of her lineup of the products.
So you've never heard this before?
No, I mean, that's
doesn't even make sense, does it?
Doesn't really make any sense. I'm not saying it's not happening, but right. I would like to help her get out of that. So,
Debbie, yeah. Email Dr. Ellie, and what's your, it's a, go through the contact on Dr. Ellie, drellie.com.
Actually, if you just go to the website, I think if you just go to drellie.com, download the booklet, mm-hmm. make sure that you've read the booklet, because it's like using the closest for a full minute, don't rinse with water between the steps. Make sure after everything you eat and drink, you are using xylitol, good xylitol. Make sure you're giving your mouth time to interact with your own saliva, that you're not drinking. I mean, one of the times
something
I spent
immediately
almost
right
an
after
hour
you do
talking
it.
To somebody, right. Yeah. I asked them, what do you drink most of the day? Oh, Coca-Cola. I mean, there are things we've got to get out of the way before we think about what this could possibly be. I want to make sure you've got all the right system using xylitol and portioning your meals and drink times
okay.
very appropriately. This, after that, I will help you.
Here's an email from Elke. Dear Dr. Ellie, she said it was okay to use charcoal to whiten the teeth. How often can we do this? My 11-year-old has slightly yellowish teeth.
With an 11-year-old, I would get them on the complete mouth care system and not focus on strengthening the teeth for at least 2 years. And are these teeth forward? Are they drier? Is it the front teeth that you're noticing? Do they have sinus problems? Does this teenager breathe through her mouth?
Her mouth, right.
Because if that's the case, then let's think about maybe a xylitol nasal spray dealing with the sinus, the breathing, and making sure that if you do have dry front teeth, you actually lick them. Try to lick them to get saliva on them. Your saliva is the best way to mineralize your teeth. We're using the toothpaste and this ACT rinse and so on, the complete mouth care system, to help pull minerals from your saliva into your teeth. But you still, if your teeth are sticking forward and don't get saliva, you may have to lick your teeth and get your teenager to lick her teeth more often and give them time and make sure last thing at night, definitely to do the complete mouth care system, mm-hmm. xylitol after everything you eat and drink. And then I would ask, what is that teenager drinking? If it's carbonated water, it's a problem. If it's got lemon juice in the water, if it's a citrus drink, kombucha, you know, I want to know more before we just say, oh, use charcoal. That would be the last thing on the agenda.
What's the best thing to do after an acid forming like orange juice or something like that? What's the best thing to do? Just the xylitol after you?
Well, it's better to embed drinks into your meal times. If you want to drink cider vinegar or a fruit juice, especially a citrus juice, lemon juice or orange juice, drink it, you know, before you have breakfast. Or I mean, I like grapefruit juice. I'll drink it with my coffee as part of breakfast, and then I finish, and that's when I would have the xylitol. So that you're embedding this citrus attack within a meal. Usually in my meals, I have some butter or I have some proteins.
But if you're not within the meal and you had an acid thing, what would you do?
Well, I've got, I'm on
xylitol?
Skype with you. I've got coffee in one hand and I've got little cubes of cheese in the other, or xylitol at the end of having done that.
What's the cheese do? What's the cheese?
Cheese is great at remineralizing teeth, funnily enough.
Oh yeah, you heard about that thing we did from my friend Adam. He does cheddar cheese at onion, you know, at night, and he said that for years that it helps remineralize the teeth. Isn't that interesting?
Yeah.
Okay, Patrick. Wow, your results are great. This is WAAU in caps. Question for Dr. Ellie: can we rinse with some water after the Listerine if we don't have the ACT rinse? Oh, she lives in Europe.
I often think to people who don't want to use the ACT, I wonder if they just rinse with fluoridated tap water, if it would, you know,
So the ACT is not in Europe, the best you know?
I think it's in Greece and some places. I would try to find a 0.05 sodium fluoride mouth rinse somewhere.
Oh, so 0.05 sodium fluoride mouth rinse.
Amazon Canada, wherever they are.
Amazon Canada may ship to Europe, do they? I don't know.
There's also a company called MyUS.com. We use that quite a lot for international shipping. MyUS.com.
And do they have products or what is that?
Well, no, they give you a Florida address and they will take in the product and then they will ship it to you overseas.
It's an interesting
business. We've worked with them quite a lot in other countries.
Oh, that's very...
So people can get Zellies, the xylitol product I make, that people tend to like it.
MyUS.com, get an address, and then they'll ship it over there. That's pretty cool. Well, the CIA will enjoy that information today. Thanks for that, Doc.
I think it's all very legal. We're not allowed to change the order or anything.
Yeah, it sounds like that. Okay. Let's see. Here we go. This is from Heather. I just want to add confirmation to the validity of Dr. Phillips' protocol. I started on the protocol 4 years ago after hearing Dr. Phillips speak at a health fair in Syracuse, New York. This year in March, after a now typically fabulous cleaning. Oh, she's still doing cleaning. I went off the protocol for 6 months due to an ongoing family crisis that had me in constant motion. All I had time for was brushing my teeth and occasional flossing. The second cleaning in October, my dental health had fallen apart, further recessed gums, plaque building up, and all my teeth. The dental team was very surprised. That same day, I went back on the protocol and will not get off again. Thank you. I remain a big fan from Heather. Ah, there you go. That's a story. What a story that is.
Yeah.
Isn't that hilarious? Yeah.
I can only do so much, right?
Yeah, that's right. Family crisis? No, not so much. I know Dr. Ellie recommends ensuring your toothbrush completely dries, writes Steve, to avoid high-risk pathogen. But what about taking the opposite approach and storing, not just rinsing the toothbrush in liquid such as alcohol, hydrogen peroxide, or colloidal silver, or some other suitable liquid? Is there a substance that would serve as an effective sterilization agent?
From what I gather from the studies they did, because they did these studies, and I'm trying to remember exactly what they used, but they used a bunch of different things, and even the disinfectants that they used were not as effective as drying the brush for 24 hours. There were in some of them, and there was actually a difference in, I mean, I can't remember the different ones. They had an Oral-B and they had these different well-known designs of toothbrush, and they had a different rate of bacteria disappearance.
Really?
Relative to the style of brush. I mean, it was, then another study thought that an old brush would be more infected than a new one, but it was actually the opposite. They kind of crunched up the bristles on a metal thing, thinking that was then going to be more trap the bacteria. We really don't have a good handle on what the deal is exactly. My guess would be that it's to do with anaerobicness.
So you found the best thing.
Be careful with these electric brushes, particularly that have like a channel inside them where, you know.
So you found the best thing is simply let it dry out.
I don't. I'm just going from the studies. I looked down a microscope at bacteria. I mean, your Dr. Nunnally could probably do this for us.
Yeah.
Because what it really takes is a very good high power microscope and the amount of time to try out. What if I store it like this?
Right.
What if I do that? Yeah. I haven't got a microscope and never had access to what I wanted to do that. I did see down a microscope when people did this Listerine, squishing it Listerine and drying it, that it worked, as so did bleach. It worked as well as bleach. The Listerine worked equally well. Now the studies show this 24-hour thing. I feel that because of the brush I was using then may not be the brush you are using, we need to be safe rather than sorry, right?
Yes. Dr. Ellie, this is from Susan. She is in Seattle. I don't know if she's sleepless in Seattle, but she's in Seattle. And she says, my mouthwash has colloidal silver in it that I've been using. And also, I like to use oil pulling. Do you think these one or both of these things could disrupt your program?
Oh, you can't. It would be different. You would be, my first question is, how is your mouth health? If your mouth health is great, may work for you. I'm hoping that soon there'll be better access for people to be able to do a profile testing of, you know, it was very interesting for me to find out what is in my mouth. Yes, I didn't have any of these pathogens at all. I knew that years ago. But when this person came along and said, Ellie, I'd like to know what is in your mouth. What is the profile? Because we now know that there should be somewhere up to 900 kinds of good bacteria. This gentleman that did my test, that was very consoling to me, that this being on my mouth care program for 30 years hadn't wiped out the good bacteria. I was definitely on the right track. He called me last Thanksgiving because he had just done a test on a lady who had oil pulled with coconut oil for 6 months. And she had no bacteria. She didn't have any good ones. Wow. She didn't have necessarily any bad ones either. She just had, he had never seen a test like this before where her mouth was virtually kind of sterile. I don't know that that's what you want in your, I don't think that's the way nature intended. And again, I'm not against oil pulling. I think if you live in India where oil pulling originated and you have periodontal pathogens, it would be better to get rid of them, right, with oil pulling. And it appears oil pulling is pretty effective for getting rid of stuff. But then you have nothing, you don't have the good bacteria.
Oh, so you think it croaks the good guys too?
That's what he found.
Oh, he
did find.
She had
no good bacteria.
No good
left.
Bacteria, wow.
So although you get rid of the disease, and I think that peroxide. Right now, a lot of dentists are very excited about the use of peroxide for periodontal pathogens. It does appear to get rid of them, but they will come back if you don't have a healthy population. So these people, are they going to live the rest of their lives putting in trays with peroxide in them for the rest of their life? And what does that do to the skin of your mouth? I don't believe that can be healthy.
Well, I think I'm a testament to that. I used the peroxide. I mean, I didn't use a lot, but I used it, a couple times a day on my toothbrush before I put the baking soda and salt for years. And look at what I had when I took the test 3 months ago. I had bad actors running around, you know, playing volleyball with each other. I mean, you know.
There's a big difference between disease-free and health. And I don't think that, you know, I think silver has a great place. I think oil pulling has a place. And if you're out in where you have no access to anything and you think you've got gum disease, that's these pathogens, it might be a way. It does not seem to work on cavity bacteria at all. Yeah. So don't put your, I read somewhere on the internet, some woman was making her children with cavities, oil pull. I would not do that. I think that is wrong.
You know, many people do iodine daily, which I think is a good idea. But well, I wouldn't do it orally.
I wouldn't either.
I think
even essential oils, the reason that I know there are other rinses with essential oils. It's such a delicate thing to get the right amount. I mean, you know, Patrick, many people think because it's natural, it's safe. The clove oil, I mean, gosh, we used to make apple pie with cloves in it.
Sure.
So how bad can clove oil be? Well, we used to use it to kill teeth when we wanted to kill the nerve
to
inside
kill tooth?
A tooth.
Really?
Yeah, we would put a cotton ball with clove oil on that tooth, it took the pain away because it killed the tooth.
Is that what it was doing? Because my mom used to do that. That's what they thought.
Yeah.
They would just a little cotton and clove, right?
Yeah.
They shove it in there until you go to the dentist. It's actually
That's
killing
right.
the tooth is why the
killing
pain goes
the tooth,
away.
Killing the nerve, yeah. So the pain goes away. You got a dead tooth.
Oh, great. Dr. Ellie, what do you think about dental implants? My husband is going to do one, Julie, in Stockton, California.
Most people have implant. In the old days, you had an implant because you were missing a tooth. And an implant, we used to do them in Switzerland in 1970. In fact, we used to do transplants. I used to take out teeth for orthodontic purposes, and then they would go through a treatment system of cleaning, and then they would actually replant them in somebody's jaw. And the implant is really a sort of more sterile, consumer-friendly idea today in 2017. And it's really like a metal screw or a screw into the jawbone, and then you put a crown of false tooth on the top of that post. The reason today a lot of people are having implants is because they have lost their teeth through gum disease. Had that 7-millimeter pocket not been treated by your very good dentist and your very good, or, you know, you were doing oral care, had you not cared about your mouth and your dentist hadn't been watching, there would have been a very good risk that tooth in the back of your mouth, 15 there, Patrick, that we talked about earlier,
right,
would now be gone. It would have fallen out. The pocket would have got from 7 millimeters to 8 to 9. Your tooth root is about 10 millimeters long. So you're going down the tooth root quite a long way when you're 7 millimeters down, a few more millimeters all the way around, and your tooth, next thing you know, it's fallen out. It just sort of... they actually fall out. And dentists, when they see gum disease now that's at 7 millimeters, may suggest they're going to take out that tooth and put in an implant. I'm very opposed to that idea because the disease that caused the pocketing, I would go have an oral DNA test if your husband and you, because this is a, if you're living and kissing your husband, this is a shared disease. I think oral DNA testing would be a really good thing to do. Get a picture. If you have pathogens, then I would suggest before you have an implant that you get rid of those pathogens, get your mouth healthy, and then have the implant put in. Even if you had the periodontally infected tooth taken out, you don't want to then go put a new implant in that infected mouth because it will become infected. They give it a new name. They call it implantitis.
Oh, good.
It's the same infection. It's now around the implant. And the other really dangerous thing, in my humble opinion, about implants, most of them are titanium.
Yeah.
If you're going for regular cleanings, as the hygienist is scaling around the implant, that titanium implant, there's a very good chance that small particles of titanium are going to be released into the tissues around the implant. And that can easily become, in my opinion, and it's only an opinion, I would be very concerned if it was my mouth, that I could get autoimmune reactions from that titanium in my body.
Yeah.
It's one thing to have it as a hip replacement where it's not being touched. But if every 4 months you're going for this the shakeup of titanium, I don't know that your body can stand that every 4 months without having a reaction. If I were having an implant, I would want to get my mouth so healthy that I won't be needing any cleanings. And when my mouth is that healthy, then go ahead, put my implants in.
But use zirconium. Zirconium though, right?
Probably, yeah. But even so, I would want it at a stage where my mouth is so healthy, we have got an agreement with my dentist that my mouth doesn't really need a cleaning. Thank you.
I'll come
for checkups and don't need to clean it.
Right,
you know?
Right, yeah. Yeah.
Check it, but don't clean it.
I asked Dr. Nunley, who you're going to meet in 2 weeks. I asked Dr. Nunley his latest thoughts on zirconium implants, because he was very cautious 5 years ago when Dr. Huggins said, man, I wouldn't put those things in because it's going to trip your immune system. I don't care how you are, you know, but he was pretty hardcore about them before he left his body. But Dr. Nunley said, when I talked to him on Monday, he said he's more and more warming up to them. They seem okay. You know, he's seen results from healthy people that there's not been a problem with them. But I think he's taking your position. He's very cautious about them and not just throwing them in people's mouths, you know, unless they're healthy. And I think that's what you just said.
There are some awful stories, and people are not given this picture.
Yeah.
They think they've had gum disease. This is like a third set of teeth. And what I'm here to say is baby teeth are vital because the infection on a baby tooth will travel to the permanent tooth. We've known as dentists that the health of a four-year-old, tooth health of a four-year-old usually transfers to their adult teeth. Why? Because the permanent teeth that come in at five are infected by the same bacteria. It's a bacterial transmission. And if you've had a periodontal infection that resulted in the loss of teeth, it sounds exciting to have these implants, but you should be warned. You're going to have that same infection. It may take 5 to 8 years. That dentist will have cashed the check and you won't be able to go back because they don't give you a lifetime guarantee on those things.
I want my money back.
So don't be thinking you're going to go back, but you're going to end up needing dentures unless you get rid of the infection. I say get rid of the infection before you start this whole thing.
Yeah.
You know?
Yep. Yeah, pretty cool. Here's an email. This is from Sharon? I went to a lecture at the Oak Hill Wellness Clinic and started the Dr. Ellie Phillips program in March of this year. Had my oral DNA tested. The results that I had 9 pathogens over the safe limit threshold. I did the total mouth care system twice a day for 12 weeks. Was retested in June. June results showed a reduction in the levels, but still above the safe limit. I continued using the protocol and was interested and retested in September. 12 weeks again, and that showed even more reduction. 1 pathogen totally gone, 7 below the safe limit, and I reduced to just above the safe limit threshold, and I'm planning to retest in December. Man, this gal's all over it. She's going to retest again after
well,
the third 12 weeks.
Well, because she has this is somebody with a lot against her.
Her total health, you mean?
Her total health. You came, I knew you were going to have a good result in 12 weeks because you've been a health nut since the 1970s.
Yes.
Conscious of what you're eating and doing, and you don't have things against you. Most of the people that I work with come at this from, they have, you know, and this isn't Sharon's case, but I do know her. Her health history was...
Oh, you do know her.
You know, there are challenges. A lot of people have challenges. I mean, I've worked with people who have, you know, they have, as I say, another client of mine has, Lyme disease and, you know, chronic kidney problems. And then I know diabetics, a lot of people, and they're just going to take longer to heal. I think the greatest story is that they will still get better. It'll just be slower. And I think what they usually find, most of my people, like the diabetic people I'm thinking of, have found their health conditions. There's a lag time, but then the health conditions start to get better.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, this isn't just about mouth. That there is a two-way street between mouth health and body health. And if your body health is out of whack, improving your mouth health may take longer. it's still possible. I think that's the great thing that we learned when I was working with Sharon, is that it doesn't matter. Even if your immune system is somewhat compromised, you're still going to make progress with the complete mouth care system. And if you are a healthy person, don't let your mouth health be your problem, because it would be 12 weeks to correct it. And really, all the things I do with people when I consult with them to try and help people who've got health problems would be nothing that you wouldn't approve of, Patrick. It's trying to get people to stress less, to eat very good whole food meals that are well balanced with a lot of plant-based variety, to sleep adequately, you know, to exercise a certain amount. You know, there is other things that work with mouth health, but they're really your immune system. They're building your body.
Yeah, yeah. It's a whole deal. I tell you what, if you've done some research, and we have over the years, of the connection between root canals and even breast cancer, I mean, it's there, you know. It's there. It just is, you know.
And well, you had a lady the other day, I'm sorry I couldn't get to listen to it, and I haven't gone back yet in the archives, but I plan to, who was talking about stress, really, wasn't she?
Oh, yeah. She has figured out the scale is without a control. She was great. She's in Europe, and the different emotions, how they affect different teeth. I mean, how crazy is that?
Well, it sounds crazy, and
but
again,
I bet
like
it's not. No, I bet
like
it's not
meridian,
crazy.
The meridian chart that the Chinese have had,
sure,
and everybody has poo-pooed, but you know what?
Yeah.
The more we learn, I don't understand it, but I wouldn't laugh at it, because in the same way, and we've talked before, my hero is Ignaz Semmelweis, who was laughed at, was jeered, and finally died in a straitjacket because they thought he was crazy.
Really?
And all he was trying to do was get medical students to wash their hands between autopsy and the birthing unit. And they thought he was nuts because they couldn't see anything wrong with their hands.
Wow.
15 years later, of course, they've got microscopes, and they did see what the problem was. Just because we can't see the connection, if you've got a smart person with good observation, I think you pay attention.
Yeah.
I don't, you know, I don't poo-poo these things. And I would agree that stress for sure makes your saliva acidic, changes our digestive health.
There's no doubt about it. I mean, you know, it changes our diet. People's acid reflux stuff and the heartburn and all that, you know, it's all affected by stress and worry and Crohn's, right? IBS, all that stuff. And also in the same venue, I mean, I'm just opining here. I have no idea what I'm talking about, but I believe that, well, of course, we know that, you know. I think all this silver that's being used in hospitals, and they try to get all these things slickery clean and everything, is the reason why these staff things and these renegade, really bad dudes get out of control. I think they're overdoing it. I think they're just overdoing.
Well, and I think this is, again, we know that asthma and allergies, you know, that there's definitely, we need healthy bacteria to work with us in our bodies. There was an interesting study. I don't know if you want me to chat or whether we've got to move along, but there was
a
study done.
We got a few minutes.
There was a study done in the Netherlands where they looked at pacifiers.
Huh.
And the women who licked the pacifiers and gave it to the children versus the people who sterilized the pacifiers with, you know, that Purell stuff, the sort of antibacterial,
right,
sterilizing things. And they found the children that had the sterilized stuff, baby toys and pacifiers and things, developed more allergies.
Wow.
Than the children where the parents were licking the pacifiers. And this caused great consternation in the dental world, because they're busy just learning that dental disease is a transferable disease. And if the mother has bad teeth, then you transfer those bad cavity bacteria by kissing your baby. And New York State's best brochure for pregnant women is don't kiss your baby. I mean,
Really?
Really. I tried talking to the guy.
Sure,
I called him up. My husband and I at the time were saying, this guy obviously doesn't have children. I mean, what is he thinking? I mean, this is absurd. Somebody's going to kiss your child eventually, so you may as well make it you.
You think?
And your mouth does need to be clean if you're a pregnant woman or have a family. It's a family disease. It's not that difficult, Patrick. 12 weeks, you have a healthy mouth, right? So if you're pregnant, get your mouth healthy, get your grandparents' mouth healthy, get everybody in the family healthy, and then just kiss
away.
Each other.
There's a lot of kissing.
And share.
Plus, I rub noses with my golden doodle. So, I mean,
we got to test. We got to do an oral DNA test.
We're going to do an oral DNA test on her. But obviously, it hasn't bothered me, right? But I just rub noses, But, you know, I've got this theory, too. My theory is that dogs and animals will go out and get the bacteria that you need. I mean, I'm really wacko. I think
I'm okay with it,
too. I think they're going to get what you need and bring it to you. I mean, I believe they're that smart, intuitively.
I do. Also, if you have a lot of vets that you talk with on your radio, I would like to hear that discussion about mouth health and if they ever do test these dogs, because some dogs have terrible teeth. And I know my daughter had a corgi with terrible teeth, and they did a cleaning when they were doing some of the surgery, because it was like in the same, while the dog was anesthetized, they were going to do the cleaning at the same time as they did the surgery, and the dog didn't recover. And I just feel that your dog has all this disease. I wish there was a similar, don't use this system on your dog. Don't give your dog xylitol. It can be toxic to dogs. So we don't want this system for your dogs, but I wish we knew what to do for dogs with bad teeth, because I think it's so sad.
Well, there's a diet called the BARF diet, bones and raw food. It's out of Australia. And they contend just a generous 2 or 3 times a week meaty bones for dogs. And I doodle Guy's bones all the time, and her teeth are just sparkling.
Really?
Yeah, just bones, bones. Mm. A lot of calcium. Mm. The bones that they can eat, and they scrape I guess they scrape their teeth when they eat them. We got to move along here because I have to go in a few minutes because I have an appointment, but I'm having too much fun. Thanks for your show. Very interesting, says Diane. Main question is, why does a tongue hurt? I can feel it. It's a slight feel, but definitely present for some time. I do have teeth marks on each side of the tongue as well. Been drinking alkaline water, which I'm going to quit. Some of my back pain is receding. Have been oil pulling. Sounds like I'll quit that too. Thanks for your comment. She's going to quit everything after listening.
Well, I had this lady, one of my worst clients was this lady with burning mouth syndrome who had seen everybody and anybody, spent thousands of dollars, seen nutritionists, seen everybody. In a nutshell, it was to do with diet. She was on the wrong diet for her digestive and mouth health, even though it wasn't picked up. It was far too high in soy products. At a time when that soy was not helpful to her, she was suffering some, I think, intestinal problems. We had to work with that. We had to calm the whole thing down. She was stressed out, and her mouth was out of balance. So this lady, I would get her on the complete mouth care system, but with Listerine, tiny, tiny length of time, 5 seconds or less, and a small amount, and go slowly, but get on the xylitol maybe first. Make sure you've got good xylitol. Look at your digestive health. And if you need some help, and that's what I do a lot of, is just working through getting people's digestive health healthy at the same time as their mouth and also your nose. Make sure your nasal health is good at the same time. You want it all to come together. And sometimes we need supplements, sometimes.
What about a neti pot for the nose? Any opinion on that?
I think that's great. There's a xylitol packet that you can put in the neti pot.
No kidding.
Great.
Where do you get that? Is that on Amazon?
I think People's Pharmacy here in Austin.
I'll be darned.
Sell it. I think online you can get it. It is XLEAR product that I'm familiar with. They have xylitol products that are a little bit different from mine, not as much xylitol in them, which is why, you know, I continue to make my products because I still believe for dental health, we have made a product that is so ideal. But for nasal spray, I don't make a nasal spray. I haven't got around to that. I think their product is excellent.
I could probably just smash up a couple of your mints, right, in a suribachi.
No, I'm not recommending that.
I mean, I could do that and put it in water and do the neti pot.
I'm not recommending that. I know.
That's what I'm going to do. Can you talk about how to deal with receding gums? I've been on your program for a couple of months. And does it take a long time to heal, or is there something else I can do? My teeth feel great otherwise. So she hasn't seen a lot of movement on the gums yet.
Gum recession requires the circulation. So make sure you've looked at my, go to drellie.com for the toothbrushing video, mm-hmm. where you're brushing higher up than you think. Get yourself a medium toothbrush, a decent toothbrush, nothing too soft, so that you're making circulation come. Now, what circulation we're bringing is your immune system and your blood supply. So then we have to go say, well, what's in your blood? Do you have enough minerals? What's your immune system look like? What's your lower digestive health like? Maybe you need a colon probiotic for a while. Maybe your immune system needs some support, a good supplement. Go talk to your health food store and ask for some immune support, perhaps. I don't know, Patrick, if you have any suggestions for that. But, you know, I make suggestions about supporting your immune system also through, obviously, diet, things like onions and garlic and mushrooms, mm-hmm. and a wide variety of plant-based vegetables. I mean, that's where we begin. And often these people who are finding they're having recession, they have digestive problems. So we have to sort of sort those out. And yeah. I have about the same success rate. I think it takes maybe more than 12 weeks to take somebody who thought they were an IBS impossible case. I'm not saying I'm a digestive health consultant. I'm not. But I have found when we do mouth and digestive health simultaneously, we have some great successes. Yeah.
I can say totally that my digestion or tummy has gotten better over the last 3 months. And I conjecture my theory that this is all part and parcel, that these guys, you know, swimming around up here are also down there, you know.
Quite like.
They've got to be. I mean, if they're in your mouth, you're in your tummy. Come on.
That's
just my theory. I don't know. What does Dr. Marianne says, what does Dr. Ellie think about using charcoal powder for tooth whitening?
Yeah, everybody wants to whiten the teeth. As I say, the first thing I would do is do at least 2 years on my Complete Mouth Care system.
And they'll get whiter looking, right? They'll get more pearly.
And then at the end of that, if you're still not happy and it's not superficial stain, as we talked about, the sort of dead plaque stain that needs to then get cleaned off and addressed, then if you really want to whiten your teeth, I think a one-time or couple-of-time use of charcoal might be okay, but there's plenty of people worried about toxicities of other kinds connected with charcoal. I'm not the expert on that. I don't think charcoal per se is bad, but I guess it depends where that charcoal comes from and how it's made and so on. I would, if you're still not happy, I would rather you see a really good dentist and have a one-time whitening thing and see if that makes you happy, or maybe you've got some other issues.
But before that, you would do your system for a year or two.
Two years.
It takes that long for the whole glass kind of...
We found that 2 years is about what it takes. It doesn't matter what age you are. My mother was 80 when she met a 70-year-old gentleman. My father passed away, and she started dating this 70-year-old gentleman and put him on my Complete Mouth Care system, which he used because he was an engineer. He had all the you know, everything was done exactly the way it had to be. He no longer went to his dentist for 10 years because he had moved to Florida and his dentist was up in Washington, and he used to go every 4 months for cleanings. He was 70, remember? So when he went back, he was 80. He hadn't been in 10 years, and he used to go every 4 months. And his dentist looked at his teeth and was like, wow, your teeth are great. What are you doing? What are you whitening them with?
No kidding.
And
he didn't do anything but your system.
He'd done nothing but my system. And I guess this dentist had made a crown when he was 70. Mm-hmm. At the back of his mouth, this beautiful C-Rec crown matched to his then yellowish teeth. And now his teeth were all white.
Whiter than the crown.
Compared to this yellow old crown that was in the back of the mouth. So,
that's great.
Of course, the dentist did not believe he hadn't been whitening his teeth.
Right.
Now, that was 10 years. How long did it take? I don't know. I think it's a question of how healthy is your saliva.
Yeah, that's
the healthier your saliva, the more mineral dense it is, the more, because this is a constant balance, okay?
Sure.
If you're stressed out for a week, I bet your teeth will look more yellow than if you're having a happy, healthy time.
It can change that quickly.
Oh, there's minerals going in and out all day long, like your bones.
Wow. Kind of like an evolutionary thing, so you get attracted to somebody that doesn't worry, right?
Maybe.
See? I just thought of that one. Hey, what's your first name and where are you calling from?
This is Robert in Texas.
Hello, Robert. Go ahead. You're on the air with Dr. Ellie.
Hi, Dr. Ellie. Whenever I go to the dentist, they do the cleaning. They use that ultrasonic. I'm always kind of worried about that. You know, they say it removes the plaque, but I often wondered, you know, how does it know where to stop from the plaque and the enamel? Mm-hmm. So what's the idea on that? I know you don't like cleanings, but, you know.
Well, I think that's the whole point is, you know, right now our real best measure of mouth health is to have an honest dentist and ask them, do I need a cleaning? If they say, yes, look, you've got this calculus and this tartar buildup, you know that your mouth is out of balance, it's too acidic, and you can take these really simple steps to control acidity by eating these xylitol mints and gum more, and you can use this mouth care system that I recommended. It really isn't expensive or difficult, and work towards not needing this cleaning. I think you'll have an easier time to get your dentist to agree that you don't need a cleaning than to get a hygienist today to do it.
I'm on the program, and I'm seeing directions going in your way, but I was just curious, how bad is those ultrasonic cleaners, though?
I don't know. I don't think they're that bad, but I think what I would say to you is if you extend the time between your cleanings, you may find, if you use the complete mouth care system, that this plaque becomes slippery and actually diminishes by itself. I don't know, Patrick, if you had that experience of plaque kind of going away.
Yeah, I mean, when I went in there, she said you didn't have any plaque.
You know, because people think that it's hard and it has to be scraped off. I've had people who did this system for 2 years before they went for cleaning, and when they went, what they had there had gone away. Now, I'm not suggesting you don't go to the dentist for 2 years because they'll be after me, but I think you certainly can extend the time intervals, and you may find that you get healthier. It's this bizarre thing that we think going for cleaning is a helpful thing.
Yeah,
it's helpful if you've got infections.
Since I'm on a program, I see it going in that direction. One last quick question. I see my mouth is more dry at night. I'm doing a program, but my mouth is more drier than ever. Anything?
Are you doing the program exactly as prescribed?
Yes, I've
you're
been
using
doing it.
Night.
I got it posted on the wall. And
okay, exactly. Yeah. But you're getting...
Maybe take a xylitol, you know, if you've got the Zelli's mints, have one of those just as you get into bed. Mm-hmm. So you do the system, and then maybe there's an interval of whatever, 10 minutes, or you read a book, or whatever your little routine is. And then as you get into bed, have one of these mints. I say Zelli's mints because they dissolve really quickly. But it will bring saliva to your mouth as you go to sleep. I do that with people who have dry mouth, really dry mouth in the night. So they're very comfortable going to sleep. And that may be all you need, is just to get that going for some reason. Maybe you really do have a slower, as the night creeps in, your saliva flow is less. Hopefully through good diet and nutrition, you may be able to make sure you are hydrated enough during the daytime. I don't want you to drink a ton late at night, but... you know, great.
Good. I'll try that, and I'm going in the right direction. I just wanted to tell Patrick, jokingly, when he said he thinks his dog brings in the bacteria he needs, I had a bad image in my mind when I see my dog out there eating poo.
Well, you should work on that. You know, you might want to go to.
I'm not sure what my dog's going to be telling me.
You might want to go to some meetings for that. I know you're just kidding.
Thank you very much. Bye bye.
See you. So, we try not to do that around here.
I'm glad he directed that at you.
Yeah, sure.
That was nice.
Great, yeah.
True text.
That's great. Couple more, then we'll go. I have noticed my gums bleeding while brushing or flossing for the last few or 4 weeks. On Monday morning, my vision on my right side started getting blurry with dizziness. They both come and go. Do you think these two can be related to bleeding gums? I was diagnosed with Sjogren's a few years back and suffer from dry mouth. Any advice on dry mouth? So it doesn't sound like they're doing your program thing here.
No, and that would be my first thing is I work with Sjogren's. I work with the Scleroderma Association patients. I'm not on the, you know, their associations want money, so I don't have the money to pay them what they want to sponsor me or support me. But I have worked with many people with dry mouth and these really bad conditions of mouth dryness. And I get them all on my program with this one caveat: to rinse with the Listerine for a shorter period of time to start with, because they have trouble developing this biofilm. As for bleeding gums, I would look immediately at digestive health, immediately. Because it's really your immune system. Got to get that healthy. And then I would look at the toothbrush. Is the toothbrush too soft? Is it infected? Let's get a good toothbrush and a good massage going on around these bleeding gums. They should stop bleeding. If your immune system is working right and you're brushing well. But I think this lady, I assume it's a lady with Sjogren's, dry mouth, and this dizziness, ought to get this oral DNA test done ASAP, because she may find that she's got some horrible pathogens. And they can cause risk for stroke. They can cause your carotid arteries to block. I mean, and then you say you've got this eye problem. I mean, flossing in an infected mouth for that lady would be a terrible thing to do, in my opinion. Terrible. Would be a risk factor for a stroke, in my opinion. And I know that's controversial, and the ADA would hate me for it, but I am that worried about it, yes.
Well, we don't hate you, so it's okay. Hi, Dr. Ellie and Patrick. Will the gums grow back after having two root planings? I don't know what that is. Root planings?
Root planing. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Will the gums grow back? I've been on the program for about 2 months now, but it still seems like my gums are below where they should be. Will I see results after several more months?
Really, the amount of regrowth depends, again, very similar answer to the one we've just talked about, where get the circulation, brush, if that's an upper tooth, brush higher than you think. You're really brushing where the gum is attached to the bone, because that's where the little capillaries come out of the bone. Have you ever seen a picture of a skeleton? The alveolar bone up there is just dense with blood supply, but they're tiny little capillaries, and you have to try to get blood flowing, and it's a venous blood flow, so you really have to massage higher than you think, right? Oh. Almost where the gum folds over at the top of your mouth or down lower. You're not, make sure you're doing that, and you're doing it with a toothbrush that is giving you a good massage, not some feather that's ultra feeble because you're worried about the recession. Be brave and go above the recession and get the, so do it with your finger on in a face cloth if you really wanted to, if that makes you feel better. But get the circulation going, and then the circulation's only as good as your digestive health. So you may need probiotics. You may need to look at how you're eating your vegetables. You get more minerals absorbed out of vegetables if you eat them with a little butter. So if you're steaming your spinach and eating broccoli, put a tiny amount of butter with them and you will absorb more minerals. Food pairing is very interesting new science. You are trying to absorb more calcium, eat it with some banana. Banana custard would absorb more calcium out of your dairy than if you just drink the milk alone. And there are these food pairings, and for mouth health, one of the things we want are these green leafy vegetables the minerals from them, the nitrates and the minerals from them. And we can absorb more of those if we eat our vegetables with a little butter. The butyrate in butter is pretty specific. So
I actually have little vegetables with my butter.
I'm not suggesting it that way around.
But, that's what I do. I have a little baked potato with my butter is what I do.
That's good. And then a little squeeze of citrus is also helpful for the vegetables that have a high phytate content, the kale, the spinach, the oxalic acids and phytates.
Just a little lemon or something?
It's a little citrus, yeah, a little lemon juice. Oh, so some butter and lemon on your spinach or on your kale, all helpful. There's a lot of chemistry going on now in these, you know, so we didn't have to worry about it in the old days because people just did it. But if you really want to know what's going on, that's why I recommend that sort of vegetable treatment.
That's pretty fun.
And I know a lot of people are into raw vegetables. When I'm dealing with people who are coming from a very messed up digestive health, I start them with all cooked vegetables. We even cook their salad and use this butter, use a little butter in the pan and actually cook their salad and then put a little squeeze of lemon juice on and absorb the vegetables that way. And it does seem to work. Again, I have no proof and I'm not a nutritionalist, but yeah.
Well, you're a fun lady, so thanks for being here, man. 3 hours, oh my goodness. I can't believe people put up with us for 3 hours.
I can't imagine it either. I had somebody say they were doing the, what do they call it? The podcast binging.
That's right, podcast binging, you know, and Dr. Ellie binge 3 hours. Well, I'm very excited about your program. I appreciate you teaching me and all of our other folks and I mean,
yeah,
it's pretty cool. I mean,
these guys who've been on the program who bothered to call, and I know they tried calling, and I know they've gone out of their way to send you pictures. And
I really appreciate
the support, because I would have given up. Without this support, I would have stopped a few years ago. I was done trying.
Okay, girl. So in 2 weeks, we're going to go, going to meet out in Marble Falls and see Dr. Nunley. He's going to take us to lunch. He's going to give you the whole tour of his place. And you can see his operation. And then we're going to talk to Dr. Nunley about your program or whatever we do.
Okay.
How's that?
Sounds perfect. Thank you, Patrick.
All right, my dear. Thanks a lot. Oh, my pleasure.
Being the guinea pig in this process.
It's drellie.com, drellie.com. So quit telling me stuff that you like because I keep doing it. So be careful what you tell me, you know.
Yeah, well, it would be spinach and butter next.
Like, you know, don't email me, say invest in Bitcoin, because I'll probably do it.
No, I'm not telling you any financial stuff. I haven't got that worked out yet.
All right, my dear. See you soon. Thanks for everything.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. Well, there you have it. Wow, pretty cool. So we'll have that link to the PDF. So those of you who are listening on a podcast, you'll see the PDF there for my test, so you can see the proofs in the pudding thing. Pretty cool. It's really, really good stuff. Okay, we're going to have a lot of fun tomorrow. We're going to talk about figuring out how is it possible to not come back here after you reincarnate or actually have the choice to do so. What? What? We're going to do it tomorrow on Open Phones. Among other things, I love you all very much. Thanks.
Broadcasting from the beautiful Hill Country in Texas, this is OneRadioNetwork.com.